Hello there, and welcome to the podcast for this week's sermon at Grace Point at Mount Olive. We are so glad you found us. Our prayer for you as you listen is that the Holy Spirit will speak into your heart and begin to move in your life. Hey, thanks for tuning in today, and enjoy.
As we start the series, I want to remind you that our Refocus series kind of falls at the end of our Lenten series. In Lent, we talked about going from living in among the tombs in a place of death and decay and finding life in Christ Jesus. And as we find that life, we realize that it's not just life, but Jesus died so we can have life and have it more abundant. And that means having a power-filled life, a spirit-filled life, a life where you know the presence of God is with you 24/7, guiding you and strengthening you and making you whole. Healing you from the inside out each and every step of the way. And so that's what this life that we're chasing, when we say abundant life, we are not a prosperity gospel church. We do not believe that God is a genie in a bottle we can rub and suddenly we're going to have big cars. We're talking about an abundant life where we know what it's like to live under the influence and the presence of the Holy Spirit. We know that God is with us. So we're seeking that. And as we do that, we realize that we have to change a little bit along the way. We have to change some things about us so that we're prepared to take on all that God has for us. It's not that we need new eyes. It's that we need to refocus the eyes that we have. It's not that we need a new heart. It's that we need to refocus our heart on the things that matter to Christ. And so we're doing that through this series. And as we do, we want to start today with asking this question. Are you thankful or are you grateful? Now, those two words can be interchanged a little bit, a lot, in the way we talk. Especially here in the South, we'll just use whatever word comes up anytime we want, won't we? Right? So, are we thankful or are you grateful? There is a difference between the two, and God wants to reveal that to us today. But right now, before we go any further, are you thankful or are you grateful? What is something in your life that you can just stick, a thought, a person, a place, a thing, something that you have been blessed with that you can just kind of put in the back of your mind and hold on? Hold on to that for the whole service. Get that in your mind now and then think, are you thankful for that or are you grateful for that? And your answer that you have now will probably change by the time the sermon is over. At least that's what I think God's going to do with us today. As we're seeking to refocus our hearts and minds, so we want to see the world through Christ's eyes. The greatest thing that we want to do this morning and through this series is we want to learn to see the world through Christ's eyes, including ourselves. And we need to know this morning. You are loved by God. Your love. We forget that. We know it. When we were knee-high to a grasshopper, we sang, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, right? And that was our first foray for a lot of us into deep theology. But it's true. Jesus loves you. He loves you just the way you are, just where you are, just how you are. But in our adult life, sometimes we skip over that part. And we forget just how loved we are. We are loved by the Father above. We are loved in ways that we cannot even imagine. And so when Christ sees us, he sees us in a very, very unique and special way. And we want to learn to see ourselves in that same way. We want to learn to know whose we are, who we belong to, and how he sees us. It helps us get through those difficult and dark days when things aren't going right. It helps to know that God sees us in a different way than we see ourselves. And so we want to refocus our hearts and minds to see not only ourselves, but the whole world through Christ's eyes. So let's jump into that today in Luke chapter 17. If you have your Bible, there's one on the pew in front of you if you'd like to follow along. Many of you have a Bible app as well. Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 11. Listen closely as God's word speaks into our heart this morning. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voice saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. And then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. So as we're breaking this story down, first we find the 10 lepers were standing far off. Lepers were seen as unclean. The disease that affected them made them unclean. They were outcast from society. If we were in this culture and lepers came here this morning, they would have to sit way over here. And even the pews they sat in would not be clean for you and I to ever sit in. They were stuck out. So this is why when Jesus comes in the area, they are over to the side calling out, screaming out, Jesus, heal us. Have mercy on us. They were not allowed to be a part of that group. And of the 10, one of them was a foreigner. One was not even in his homeland. One was not even in a culture where he belonged whatsoever. And so, in this culture, in order to become cleansed, if your disease left you, if you were healed of your disease, you still had to go before the priest, and the priest had to examine you. And for lack of better terms, kind of like a food inspector, he had to give you the FDA seal stamp of approval. And when you went to the priest and he gave you that approval and he said, you are now clean, you were put back into society. And now you could have a normal life again. You could go back and see your family. You could go back and be around your kids. You could go back and be around your loved ones. Without that, you were forever cast out. And so here when Jesus says, go to the priest, he didn't heal them himself. He didn't touch them and heal them. He sent them to the priest. And on their way to the priest is where the power of the Holy Spirit met them. And they were healed. They were cleansed. It says that 9 went on their way, but 1 came back. 1 came back and fell at the feet of Christ, praising God and thanking Him. 1 out of 10. That day, 10 lepers were cleansed, but only 1 returned. 9 lepers were thankful that day, but only 1 was grateful. Are you starting to see the difference between the two words? I'm sure that all of them were thankful. All 10 were thankful that they were no longer seen as impure, unclean. All 10 were thankful that they could go and be with their loved ones, they could have a normal life again, but 1 was so grateful that it changed his trajectory. It changed his course of travel, and eventually it changed his life. Because he turned around and fell at the feet of Christ and worshipped Him and thanked Him. 9 were thankful, but only 1 was grateful. So what do those two words mean? When you look up Webster's dictionary, it says this: thankful is being conscious of a benefit received. All 10 knew that they had been cleansed. Something happened inside of them on the road to see the priest, and they noticed the scales fell off of their body. They noticed the skin was replaced with new. They noticed that they had been healed. When you look up the definition of grateful, it says pleasing, by reason of comfort supplied and discomfort alleviated. The one who turned back put the emotion inside of him, having received a fantastic gift, a powerful gift, a unique gift. When he realized what had just been given him, he turned around to go and find and seek and serve the one who gave him that gift. The other 9 said, thank you. Went on their way. Are you thankful or are you grateful? Are you the 1 or are you the 9? There's some words that we have as parents that we hear all the time. And ever since my girls were old enough to talk, someone would come up to them and say something about their dress. You have a pretty dress. You're so pretty. You did a great job today doing this or doing that. And because both of my children are bashful, little towheads, they would just usually kind of look down at the floor, and draw the imaginary circles with their foot. Until Sarah or I, one, say, girls, what do you say, right? And the answer is, they won't say it themselves, but you know as parents, you have to coax it. Kick it out of your children sometime. Girls, what do you say? And sometimes you, girls, what do you say? Thank you. And what happens at that point is the end of a transaction. That's what we use the words thank you. That phrase is the end of a transaction. We give a compliment. Someone says thank you. We go on our way. We sneeze. Someone says God bless you, right? What do we say? Thank you. We don't sneeze and someone say God bless you and we go, hey, what's your name? Right? Where you go to school? Where you live? They're being polite. We be polite back and the transaction ends. Our interaction with one another ends. It is a very nice and polite way to stop a conversation. Thank you. No more words. The problem is, too often, God does something in our life and we do the same thing. We say thank you and the transaction ends. It doesn't affect us going forward. It doesn't change the way we live our life. It doesn't help us to connect with God any deeper. We just simply say thank you. And we go on. Thank you. The end of a transaction. In this service, we sing songs that say things like, thank you, God, for saving me. In fact, that's an actual line from a song that we sing. And I love that song. And it's a moving song. Thank you, God, for saving me. But I hate the doctrine in that song. I hate the theology in that song. Because I don't want my interaction with God to end. And I might be the only person in this room that feels this way. I may be the only one who's completely out of control. But I need salvation every moment of every day. It was not a one-time thing done, an interaction, a transaction that took place at an altar like this where I said a prayer and he said, "You're saved," and I went on with life. Thank you. That's not what I want. I want a relationship with the God who saves me. And I want to know that when I mess up this afternoon, he's going to save me. His blood is going to be there for me. And I want to know that tomorrow when I mess up, he's going to save me. And I want to know on Tuesday if I'm happening to having a good day and things are okay, I want to know he's going to save me. I want an ongoing conversation, relationship with my Savior. I don't want to think that the only interaction I've had with Jesus is when I knelt and said, "Jesus, will you save me?" And he said, "Salvation is yours, Scott." And I said, "Thank you. See you in heaven." That's not the end of the story. Jesus' blood is applied to our life constantly, and we need him constantly. Thank you is not what Christ deserves. Gratefulness is what Christ deserves. Gratefulness begins when we realize, truly realize, just how much God has given us, and we allow that to shape our response. If you look back on your life before Christ and you realize how unhappy you were and you realize what you were headed to, when you think about what he has done in your life, the times he has healed you, the times he has healed your loved ones, the prayers he has answered, when you think about the things that God has done in your life, the weight of that should be enough to change your response. You should want to offer him more than you're offering him now. When you take into context what he's done in your life, if it doesn't change the way you want to respond to him, you don't know him. And he wants so desperately to know you. Gratefulness begins when you realize how much he has done in your life, what he has saved you from, what he has healed you from, how he has set you free. When you realize that, it will change the way you respond. It will change the way you address him. It will change the way you live your life. And you will begin to live the abundant life that Jesus promised. James 1:17 tells us this: "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." Every good thing in your life comes from the Father. Every good gift comes from the Father. So if you're wondering, what is it that I have to be thankful for? What is it that I have to be grateful for? Look in your life at the things that bring you happiness. Your family. The job that you have that you like. Guess what? You didn't get it all on your own. The gifts and graces that you have built into your life, the circumstances and the favor that went with you when you interviewed for that job, that is where the glory lies, in what God has done to get you to where you need to be. By yourself, alone, you have nothing. The beauty of our relationship with God is in him we have access to everything. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. When you realize how much he has given you, it affects you and it changes you. And you'll begin to step into a new life. Sometimes thank you just doesn't seem to be enough. Sarah and I have a ritual. We take turns. Most of the time it's Sarah. Sometimes it's me. We go in and we pray for our girls as they go to sleep. We pray for one and we pray for the other. And when I pray, I thank God. Thank God for watching after my daughters for the day, for keeping them safe. I thank God for loving them, for them knowing that he is their Savior. I thank God for helping them to love other people. I thank God for all of that. And I ask God to watch over them through the night and help them to grow healthy and strong so that they can live for him tomorrow. And as I turn and leave the room so many times, it hits me just how precious and perfect a gift those two girls are. As I've told this story here before, when we got married, I had no desire to have children whatsoever. I didn't want them. It was going to be me and Sarah, and if she had any desires to be a mother, we'd get a dog. That would work. On vacation, the dog goes to the vet. It's good. It's easy. No children. I didn't want them. And in fact, even when it got to the point where it was kind of like Sarah's will was going to outdo my will and God was going to make me have a child, I said, well, he's going to give me a boy. And we're going to name the boy Jed, because Jed Smith sounds like a linebacker, doesn't it? And I wanted a linebacker. If I've got to have a son, if I've got to have a child, I want one and a linebacker. And God gave me two girls. And he blessed me. Yes, some days. But I was blessed beyond belief. I was blessed beyond belief. God did not give me what I wanted. God gave me what I needed. He gave me what I needed. And so when I look at them and I think about how perfect a gift they are in my life, and how much joy came in that little package, and how much it's still giving me today, and how much more joy I'm going to have tomorrow and the day after that, and the rest of my days, all because God gave me what I needed, not what I wanted. When I think about that, thank you's not enough. He gave me two wonderful daughters, and I want to be a better person so that I can be a better father, so that I can be a good steward of the gift he gave me. You see how it changes from thankfulness to gratefulness? I want to react. I want to give him something. He gave me something great. I want to be able to take care of it the best that I can. That's gratefulness. It's more than thank you, end of transaction. It's living every day in a mode of, I cannot believe how much you love me. And here's my life in exchange. See, the problem with gratitude is this. It's not that we don't know what God has done for us. We can take just a moment and close our eyes and we can think of the places where God has done something big for us. Giving us a child, giving us a wife, getting us out of trouble, saving us from ourselves, helping us to make better decisions. God has done so many things good in our life. It's not that we don't know what God has done. It's that we get wrapped up in chasing the wrong things. We get wrapped up in chasing the little g God called more. Because in our world, in our way of thinking, we all want more. If I get more education, I will make more money. If I make more money, I'll get more house, more car, nicer cars. If I get those things, I'll be seen as powerful. I need more. The more I have, the happier I'll be. That's our equation of life. Except for in reality, that's not it. Because when you think that this is the level you want to achieve, guess what happens when you achieve that level? You want more. And so you keep going higher and you keep chasing things for happiness that will never, ever satisfy you. We're focused on the wrong things. We're focused on the wrong things. We need to refocus on the things that matter. Craig Groeschel says it like this: I won't let what I want rob me of what I have. Don't we do that? We have more treasure given to us by God than we could ever imagine. We have more love given to us by Christ than we could ever know. And yet, instead of pursuing those things which truly matter, we focus on getting more worldly stuff. And for us to refocus, we have to say that I won't let what I want rob me of what I have. You are blessed. Right where you are. You may be thinking, well, I don't have much money. I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. I don't have this. I don't have that. But if you have Christ, you have everything sufficient for abundant life. You don't need all the other stuff. The other stuff is just frivolous. The thing you need has been poured out on your life 100% complete. And you have more than enough in God to find joy, to find peace, and to know happiness. You have abundant life already poured inside of you. You just don't know it. Don't let what you want rob you of what you have. Appreciate what God has given you. Open your eyes and see how blessed you are and how much He loves you. Refocus on what really matters. When we refocus on the gift, gratitude drives us towards a better life. It becomes this ongoing response to God for what He's done in us. When we see the blessings that God has given us, when we see them as truly coming from the hand of God, and He blessed me with this and He blessed me with that, when we understand that, joy overtakes us and we want to offer ourselves to God. When I realize what God saved me from, I am grateful and I want to offer him my life so that he can use me to pull someone else out of the junk that I was in before so they can be set free. That's our response to God. That's a grateful heart. Just saying thank you is not enough. God doesn't want lip service. God wants your undivided service in every aspect of your life. Gratefulness opened the door for eternal life for the one. 9 were cleansed and went away. 1 turned around. And it's important to read that in verse 19. And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." That word "well" in the end, when you translate that back into Greek, it's a mistranslation. That word that they translate "well" right there in the English Standard Version actually means saved. It's used 4 more times in the New Testament, and everywhere else it's used, it means saved. So when you read it like that, your faith has saved you. Guess what Jesus granted the man who came back with a grateful heart? Eternal life. A Samaritan who was not supposed to be given such things at this time. Jesus' ministry was just now starting to expand. This was unheard of. But the faith of this man, this foreigner, because his heart was full of gratitude, he turned and allowed it to change his life. And with his lips, he praised a God that wasn't his God. And because of that, 9 were cleansed and went on their way. We don't know the rest of their story, but we can assume that they remained cleansed the rest of their life. And then they died. Thank you. Transaction is over. The one with gratefulness and gratitude in his heart came back and he praised God for it. It changed the way he lived his life, and he lives now in eternity with the one who cleansed him. Thankfulness or gratefulness? Gratefulness opened the door to eternal life for the one, and a grateful heart will open the door for you and I to have abundant life here on earth now. But what does that gratefulness look like? What does it look like? What does it sound like? What words do you use to talk to God or about God when you have a grateful heart? Psalm 63 paints us a very good picture of that. The 63rd Psalm we know is written by David, and most people believe that it was written by David in a cave while he was hiding from King Saul. Saul was wanting to kill David. He was running for his life. He was alone. And from that cave, where he's been fighting for his life and running for his life, he wrote these words. Psalm 63. "Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me." Let me pull out a few of those phrases real quick. My soul thirsts for you. My lips praise you. I lift up my hands to you. I meditate on you at night. I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. These are not words you and I use in prayer very often. These are not words we use to describe our relationship with Jesus Christ. But these are the words that come from a grateful heart. When we realize that all that we are and all that we have and all that we hope for can only come from the hand of the Father, it changes the way we speak. It changes the way we address Him. It changes the way we approach Him. You hear these words. These are words of desperation. I thirst for you like I have a thirst for water in a land where there is no water, in a dry desert. I cling to you. I trust you. I praise you. This is the prayer of a grateful heart. A man running for his life that says, "Your love and knowing that you love me is worth more than my very life. The thing that I'm running and trying to save, everything that I hold dear to me right now is worthless compared to knowing that you love me. We don't think those thoughts because we're comfortable. But there's power in a grateful heart. There's power in a heart that will say, God, I need you and you alone. You and only you can satisfy me. We begin to think and see that, we'll step into power. So what are you grateful for today? That thing we thought about at the beginning of the service. What is it that you're grateful for today? Maybe it's a new thought. Maybe you realize that maybe I didn't think deep enough. The thing that I'm most grateful for today, the thing that will shape me and shape the way I respond to God, the thing that makes me want to give God more, is the thing that I'm grateful for. We all have those things in our life, but the question we really need to ask is this: how have you lived out that response so far? Is the response that you're living out with your life worthy of the thing that God has done in your life? If it is, fantastic. You get it. You're there. If you're like me and it's not, it's one of those little tweaks that we have to do. It's not that we need a new set of eyes. It's that we need to refocus the ones that we have. It's not that we need a new heart. It's that we need to refocus the heart that we have on the things that truly matter. Realizing God's presence and God's power and knowing how much He loves us. We need to feel the weight of the goodness of God's presence. We need to feel the weight of His power working in our life, and it needs to shape the way we respond. We need to have a grateful heart so that we can walk an abundant life. Because a grateful heart prepares the way. It's step one, and it's the only step needed. If we can learn to refocus our hearts, refocus our soul on what God has done and what God is doing, we can learn to live a grateful life. If we can learn to stop saying thank you to God, but continuing the conversation, we'll walk in abundant life. But as long as we continue to come on Sunday mornings and sit in a pew and then say, thank you, God, I'm done, and walk out the back door and go on with our life, we'll never know abundant life. We will have no hope of finding it. There's nothing we can buy, there's nothing we can do, there's nothing we can get that's going to make this better. It requires surrender. It requires, just like the one, turning back, falling at the feet of Jesus, and offering Him our all. Will you pray with me? God, You have blessed us beyond belief. You love us deeper than we can even imagine. In this place right now, there are stories of things You have done that would just absolutely floor us and take our words away. You are so good to us. But God, our response to You for how good You have been is not nearly enough. Too often we have waved and said thank you and gone away and ended our relationship, ended our transaction. We've stepped out of the power and potential in our lives. Today, Father, call us by the power of Your Holy Spirit to step back in. Call us into being grateful. Call us into grateful lives with grateful hearts, chasing after the one that we can't live without. Father God, make us desperate for Your presence. Make us desperate for Your power. Make us desperate for Your love in a way that we have never known before. Help us to focus on how You see us. Help us to know the weight of all that You've done for us. Not so that it can crush us, but so that it can lift us up. So that it can help usher us into a new life, an abundant life, into a place of power, knowing Your Holy Spirit is with us, guiding us, fighting for us, protecting us, giving us the strength and courage to do Your will. God, we want to know You. We want to speak with You and walk with You each and every day. We want to continue to respond to You, constantly singing Your praises. We want to offer You our lives. Call us to that this morning. Let Your words resonate on our heart and stay on our mind. Pull back the layers and show us just how much You love us. Change the way we respond. so that we may bring you glory in all that we do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Again, thank you for tuning in and listening to us today. If you'd like to know more about how God is moving through this church, visit us on Facebook or on our website, gracepointatmountolive.com. Better yet, come by and join us for worship on Sundays at 9 a.m. for traditional worship and 11 a.m. for a modern service. Until then, may God bless you and may His grace saturate your life. God bless.